Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Children's Encyclopedia of the Earth by Michael Albee. Now, this is a book which I've picked up from a school fete, and I've decided that I'll practice reading through it. So there's general education level information about the Earth on a fairly thick tome. I don't know how far I'll get. It's 235 pages. It's broken into sections. What I'm looking at is how to educate on it, and I'm thinking ahead of putting sort of text-supported podcasting, and looking at how the HTML landscape, HTML5 broadcast, looks at it, how you organize it to be fluid. And obviously that every once in a while you want to have resources, multiple choices. How those multiple choices can be in audio format. And I can sort of see how you can use computing power to make an audio multiple choice with an explanation to come up. How that actually works, I can sort of see there. So what I'm going to do is read a section and then actually just come up with a multiple choice to listen to. So I'll tell you that in advance. And I'm reading through this. There's a beautiful picture of looking down on some coastal water at the start. This is the first pages. At the right, a helicopter of the cliffs of one of the 115 islands of the seashells that can be seen rising the turquoise blue waters. That's the seashells for you are just off Africa, between Madagascar, and it's got the overall contents. There's no real choice for you so far, but the area going right up to page 240 is broken out. Place in space, Earth's history, inside Earth, dynamic Earth, oceans, land, weather, Earth's resources. So it's just sort of geology. I don't know what year it's put to you. And then there's a how to use this book. And it's something that I really can't read to you. But they have a geological timeline at the bottom. Different facts box. Specific facts, world record facts, and fast facts. Different boxes there. Abbreviation. They've got a description of abbreviations. They actually have got a few things which are, disgusting. Sorry, I shouldn't. It's a great little book, but however, if you're teaching kids, so they're for, things are reasonably okay, except for kilometer squared is SQ dot, which is cross product dot. KM. So that's just an abomination. It should be KM to the power of 2 or kilometers squared. You shouldn't introduce your own sort of unit stuff and give it to people. For degrees and temperature, they don't have degrees C. I don't know why they don't have there. This is bizarre. They're saying they can put 2 degrees C, degrees F. North and south degrees, square miles also possible. You can see sort of length, bit of length, a bit of SI all mixed up there. BYA. For billion years ago, should be capital G for giga, the SI unit, and capital M for they've made up their own abbreviations here. So MYO is a million years ago. So they've got their own. I don't know why they don't just look up the internet to see what's going on. Then we've got distribution maps and various things to help you read through the book. We're up to page 9 on how to use this book. Now we're on to our place on Earth, and it's a large set of pictures showing a galaxy, the sun, the nebula, the moon as seen from the Earth, the Mars, the surface, another. You've got different composite pictures, some direct and some artistic versions, which is a bit of a mix here, because they will show you the surface of Earth, of the Moon, and pictures of Jupiter and various planets, with the Sun at different angles across it. So the Sun's coming up to the left, to the right, and of different planets, and it's sort of difficult if you're going to mix artistic collages with real photographs. That's all I have to say. The picture of the Sun is through a hydrogen alpha lens. See if there's any criticism. There's no explanation of what these individual pictures are and what they're supposed to represent. So it gives you a general flavour. And the picture of the galaxy is also got artistic license to it. So it's just a gentle criticism at this point going through. And now we've got the page 13, the universe, and I'll see if I can get a multiple choice question for you. Now, you can see, I'll just read the text for you, and then I'll read what's going through. The universe, the Earth and other planets, the Sun and other stars, galaxies and space around them, and the energy that comes from them are all part of what we call the universe, the capital U, universe. About 14 billion years ago, which is, it's a cometary one, it's 13.8. It used to be 13.78, but now it's 13.8 exactly. I'll have to see what the latest is. All matter and energy, even space itself, was packed into a single point. Yeah, you'd want to relate what matter is and get through your definitions, but they're starting off. Then there was a tremendous explosion, the Big Bang. Well, I suppose it is tremendous, the biggest thing, whether it's an explosion or expansion is another thing. So in order to explain it, they've got inflatons, new particles to describe inflation. And sort of inflation is from a Planck dimension up to the size of a pea or a few atoms across. Is that major thing? The basic materials of the universe, the gases, hydrogen, helium, came to be. Well, you could actually just say that the hydrogen condensed and then the hydrogen fused to form helium. You could say that, but they didn't. These gases collected into large bodies called galaxies. As the stars within the galaxies exploded, other elements were formed, including carbon, the building blocks for life. Okay. Well, I suppose my only comment there is that you've got horizontal branch giants which go through star. You know, you get helium cycles, you get other planets, a lot of gases produced by dying stars. Then we have the knowledge now that some stuff was made by supernovas and a large stuff was made by colliding neutron stars. We now know that, so I don't know how you'd put that in here. That being said, this is a church book fate, a church fate. So it's been put out here, and when was it published? It's received and produced by Weldon Owen, Victoria Street, McCallum's Poet, 2007. I'll phone these people up and see whether it's okay. I don't know whether I'm breaking copyright here, because I'm just reading and commenting on the book as I'm reading through it. So there's new information, so that gives you an idea that how much you know, science teachers have to be educated nowadays as to what's going on. So whether they had the knowledge in the first place to comprehend it in 2007 is a moot point. So if it's not sufficient saying they're out of date, they probably didn't understand what was going on even in 2007. Now, we've got a box here, life in the universe, which seems to be a general question that people have. Now, is there other life there? I suppose it's a natural thing to ask. We have learnt everything we know about the universe with the help of robots called satellites and space probes. Good call, I think, because that explains what a probe does. Sort of all like robotic cameras and sensors. Since the 1960s, they don't have an apostrophe after S, so I don't understand what that is. They have roamed the solar system to explore where no one has ever travelled. So far, no probe has found evidence of life beyond Earth. Then, when a meteorite from Mars was viewed under a microscope, this tube-like structure was found. Some think it may be a tiny Martian fossil. Okay, so you really need to add a bit more information there. Firstly, that meteorite impacts from Mars scoop up and launch Martian rocks into space. And those Martian rocks form meteorites and they land on Earth. And they're easy to spot in Antarctica. So this is just background information because they're a different colour. And you can pick them up instantly and tell that from their isotope composition that they're from Mars. So every rock, every periodic table is different in every place. So the Venus periodic table, it's the same elements but of different isotope concentrations. And so comets have a different composition. The meteorites or asteroids have a different composition. And so we can pick up a rock and we can tell that it's from Mars. That's an important thing. The important thing is that it is likely that this is a false colour image. Okay? And, yep. And so there's so much there to say. About it, and my only problem is they've used the word have. Have roamed as if roaming sends to say go here and then like this. Have been sent on voyages throughout the thing. I would probably say it differently. Now the next image is of a bacteria, and they have a question: how would life look? The earth's living things on Earth were simple cells. Perhaps other life in the universe is as simple as this creature. Or perhaps. Okay, so in it they show a bacteria with hair on the outside, cilia, hair on the outside. It's got an outer shell, and it's got three levels of casing. Now, what those three casings mean, I don't quite understand. It would be nice if that was a thing. And it shows loops, plasmid loops, a yellow one of its DNA, a red one of its DNA, and little vesicles, which also happen. So, vesicle is a circular dot inside it. And so that's a bacteria, so it's got no central nucleus. So they might want to say that it has no central nucleus. One of the things is its tail is used for propelling its way forward. I don't know whether there is actually bacteria with hair on and what those three layers mean. It would be nice if that was explained. Now, what they have now is the classic sequences of linked pictures and what they have here is, now it's rather strange, it starts off from the top right, going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Oh, Oh, yeah, so rather it goes from small to big, and in certain areas, and this is one of the things I would say as a as someone who's visited this, that there's a series. I have a series 6 scales and link them to experiential scales. Here they show a series of 5 scales, and they're not necessarily pedological scales, going from the size of the Earth all the way up to the universe, and they're not accessible scales. They're sort of scales sitting up, and you really don't know what's going on. So I'll read what they're doing, and then I'll go across. I can't see a multiple choice coming out of my head right here. So these are 5 cubes, and the cubes are broken into 27 segments. That's 3 by 3 by 3. That's to indicate that there's a volume of space. And for this, the objects are put inside. I do have a few criticisms of it sort of right away as we're coming across, but I'll get into it. So they've got these 5 cubes of expanding size. Now, before that, they have on the side pictures, and they have a picture of, I think it is the, something looking a bit like the Horsehead Nebula, but it's a more artistic version of a nebula. The Earth and the solar system formed in a cloud of gas and dust about 4.6 million years ago. Oh, crap. The Orion Nebula may be one day collapse to form a solar system like ours. Now, unfortunately, this is where you read, go ahead, it's 4.6 billion years ago, not million. So it's a mistake. Can you imagine Keyes reading it? Now, the other things that I want to explain is that the actual physical size of stars in that picture are due to the resolution of your telescope and the fact that you can saturate something. So if something is very, very bright, it will saturate and burn a bigger hole in your camera. And the actual lines across are artifacts due to looking through a pretty crap telescope. Then the colours here represent, the colours represents a glowing discharge gas, a very distinct stuff. The red typically represents hydrogen gas. So it'd be nice to actually put that there. The darker clouds represent some darker material which tends to absorb it, so the clouds are emitting light and absorbing light to produce it. So I would say that. Now, opposite, so that's a these are artistically improved diagrams. Next to it is an actual fact, a picture, and it's entitled The Blue Marble. Now, it's interesting that the picture, the top one, doesn't have a title. This one does have a blue marble, and it's the famous picture from the Apollo missions. Astronauts who visited the moon saw the distant Earth as a blue marble floating in the blackness of space above the grey, lifeless landscape of the moon. And I suppose it's here that they've got moon with a capital M. Now, just a small thing here, they have the word capital U for universe. So the observable universe is a small u. The actual universe, which includes everything beyond the observable universe, if there's such a thing, is capital U here. So we're just taking a way through we're just on our first page here. Now, if I can do a few criticisms here. One thing is that they've got a picture of, a real picture of the moon, the Earth, and then a artist's impression of the Earth. So why not just get a real picture of the Earth here? Now, so there are 5 sections going from the Earth, solar system, local group, Milky Way, known universe. That's bang, 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 bang. Oh no, yeah, local group. So it's Earth, solar system, Milky Way, local group, known universe. Okay. And my issue here is that we swap from real pictures to artist's impression. Now, the artist's impression, unfortunately, of the solar system really sticks out because it is showing something with Neptune, Uranus, Jupiter, and Saturn. In this picture, and the inner orbits, and they've got the orbits inside there as construct yellow lines. Now, people who haven't studied it would think the actual orbits do follow these lines, and these ring systems, like Saturn, looks bigger than Jupiter. Yet, it's just crazy, and that the biggest one, which is closest to us, is Neptune, which has got rings, and then you've got a whole long yellow things, which is the Kuiper belt, and it's got the also the asteroid belt. In reality, the asteroid belt is like a fraction, like a third the mass of the Moon. Like, it's got nothing there, and there's Ceres, a microplanet, dwarf planet, sitting in the middle of the asteroid belt. And I think that's like a small fraction of the mass of the Moon, and I think that corresponds to 40% of the mass of the stuff in the asteroid belt. My only criticism is that this, you swap between artist's impressions and, my other issue is that they show the Earth and they position the actual Earth outside the Jupiter, the orbit of Jupiter going through. This may as well look at it. They do have the Sun producing light, but as it produces light, it produces atmospheric light rays, giving the impression that the solar system is full of air. So there's this light white ray. This is for an artistic impression to produce these things. So there's just this mishmash of scientific concepts put in there. Now, my overall criticism is that you may as well do the whole, if you're going to use the scale system, using it is really abusing it, because you use it between, I'm not going to use the scale system, I'm going to start with the Earth, why not go down to an atom, and then I'm going to, down to the universe, but the universe is really big, so I'm not going to do that either. So I've got a criticism of the scale system. It's okay, the scales is really dodgy, and it's not a take-home scale. So my take-home scale is, if you expand something by a billion, the yeah, I like this. If you expand it by a billion, an atom is the size of a kitten. A hydrogen is the size of a kitten. Then you've got this one-to-one scale that you exist in, and I find that's really aggravating, because why don't you just talk about your own scale? Because it's really making scales completely abstract. And then the scale, shrink things by a billion, that's okay. Expand it by a billion, shrink it by a billion. The Earth shrinks to the size of a grape. And just to go on the edible stuff. I was going to say kitten. I think kitten's nice, but it's fairy floss is a better thing. It's less structured. Again, the grape. The next, and the grape, and across Aussie Rules football field, which is 150 metres, the sun is the size of a very large yoga ball, 1.5 metres, 1.53, it's 153 million kilometres, 153 metres at this distance. Just got to do a hundredth. It's around 1.36 million kilometres across, or 1.3 metres tall ball at the outside. Gives you an idea. You can cross it. So there's so much you can do. Then the next scale is a trillion. Everything's reduced to it. And there, the next star is the size of a little cupcake stuff, the cupcake scale. Then the next one is the pancake scale, that your galaxy is the size of a pancake you'd eat, and the next nearest galaxy is a pancake away. The next scale there, so that's light. It travels at it takes 1,000 years to travel a millimeter. The scale before that, it takes a second to travel a third of a millimeter. So 8 minutes to cross the palm of your hand, your extended hand. And then your final one is light takes not 1,000 years to travel a millimeter, it takes 1 billion years to travel a millimeter, and it's 93 billion light years across. So that's again back to the size of that kitten. I like the idea of kitten. Kittens are much easier to go. So let's get into the criticism of this one. So they start off small, and they've got a cube of no deferred scale. It's increasing. Earth, our home is a small, watery, blue planet. Well, I sort of contest that. There is something like 0.1% of the Earth's, like, incredibly small. We're wet. We're wet. The surface is wet. About 8 light minutes from the warmth and light of the ordinary yellow star, the Sun. So far, Earth is the only place in the universe where we know life exists. Okay. I've just got buckets of problems with this. Two, I've begun to describe the appalling solar system they've drawn. The solar system, zoom out, and the Earth is just one planet in the system, according to this, outside the orbit of Jupiter, which includes 7 other major planets. It takes about 6 hours from light to travel from the Sun to the dwarf planet Jupiter on the outer edges of the solar system. Now we're going to the Milky Way. Even zipping at the speed of light, the fastest anything can travel, a light beam would still take 100,000 years to cross our galaxy. Well, if you go to my scale, your pancake's 100 millimeters across. Then if we count, the beam of light would take 2.5 million years to reach the closest large, closest galaxy to ours, Andromeda. I think it's 2 million years, mate. This is one of our neighborhood in a small family of galaxies called the Local Group. I don't know why they're using them with small. Then 5, going up. To reach the most distant objects in the known universe, even travelling at the speed of light, would take us nearly 14 billion years. Along the way, we'd pass chains of clusters of billions of other galaxies. Well, I think there's something like 2 trillion known other galaxies. And the fact is, I don't think they've understood. We are watching for this. Your telescope is a time machine. You can't travel because you are always in the center of the universe. I don't know how you do that. I'm not really ready to do a multiple choice here, guys, but I will try and do it. So we're stuck onto page 14, and up to page 28. This is quite enjoyable to do it this way. It beats reading, but I will have to read it. The solar system. I'll read the text here. And that, underneath here, this is at once nice and disappointing. Certainly because, yes, good. That's good for 1 point. They have a series, Ceres, which is the dwarf planet in the asteroid belt. What I find is difficult, so this is a graphic underneath which actually shows to scale the distance of different planets. It's just, why they couldn't have put it into scale, so they could have, in the same thing, put at a scale and a zoomed in view. So for instance, the size that they've drawn Jupiter includes, and if we were to place it on the orbit of Earth, both Mars and Venus would hit into it. It's that big. It's the wrong scale. And the Sun has got you know, the sun does not make sense, because the sun has got a center not on the axis. So according to this, the planets and everything is orbiting on a distance, on a plane above the thing of the solar system. Now here they show the same thing again. The orbits are real, and the orbit lines are real. Everything's on the orbit line, and the scales are all whack. And the sun has got this sort of rubbish, like, I don't know, pimples on it. And the sun's looking like a big explosion. I'll read it under, the major planets around the sun in ring-like paths called orbits. It's really dangerous to say, because it's got rings around the planets. The inner planets do not take very long to orbit the sun, but it may take the outer planets many years. Ooh, I don't like them saying that. Okay, let's read this, the text, because there's some good things here. The Earth belongs to a cosmic family called the Solar System. The Sun, which I put in brackets Sol, S-O-L, controls this collection of 8 major planets, dozens of moons, and countless asteroids and comets. I have to include minor planets as well. The major planets fall into 2 groups, the inner rocky planets, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars, the outer gases, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus. Tiny Pluto was called a planet when it was discovered in 1930, but in 2006 it was reclassified as a dwarf planet. You really have to say that, because every kid knows that, and it's one of those facts that they know. Oh, it's controversy. It's just one member of the Kuiper Belt, a collection of small icy worlds at the edge of the solar system. Another 2 dwarf planets, that's Ceres and Eris, but there are many more when we plan. So this have explained what Ceres and Eris is. Pleiades would be an interesting one to actually know where it is. Now my, yep, I'm just really trying to, there's 2 types of belts. There's Kuiper belt and there's another belt. And this is my memory going far out. So there's the Oort cloud. So it'd be nice to know what the difference is. They have a sort of a picture of the asteroid belt, which is not in this picture. Now, what they have is the planets all lined up to scale and drawn in each other. So going Earth, Moon, Ceres, Venus, Mars, and Mercury all along, which is good. Therefore, and it's not explain. Oh, well, let's see what it says. The 4 inner planets closest to the sun are make up the inner solar system. They consist mostly of rock and are much smaller than the 4 gas giants. Thanks for that. But that should perhaps explain what you're seeing here. Is if you're plucked up in orbit, shrunk down in size, and put on your table. I've got my little bowerbird coming here. What are you going to do, mate? Okay. Then they have the Earth. Again, shown. You know what? It would be nice if they had actually. It wouldn't have cost them all that much to put the entire. Okay, this is pretty spooky. The bowerbirds are coming up to you. Okay, and this is called the outer planets. I would have actually just put the whole sequence down again to show that they're the same thing at scale. It's just cognitively hard just to have the Earth plucked out of both and shrunk down. What are you coming? This bound birds. I hope it doesn't pick me. Oh, no, that's awful. Okay. 4 planets of the outer system are called gas giants because they are largely made out of gas. Gas is hydrogen, helium. No. Because they're giant. Oh, they're called gas because they're made out of gas. And they're giant, okay. Asteroid belts. I hate this picture of the asteroid belt. It's such a bad picture. It shows the orbits and it shows all this amount of rocks, which is totally unrealistic. And what's sad is they put this picture next to an astronomical picture of a comet. Okay, the asteroid belt. Now, this was an artist's impression. Are made of rocks and metal. Many thousands of them orbit between Mars and Jupiter in the asteroid belt. Oh, okay. A comet hailing Bob. A comet is a body of ice and dust that orbits the sun. As it nears, the ice warms up and the comet forms a long gas and dust tail. Now, I just have to remember, going back, the actual naming system of comets. I think it's the year and date, and possibly discoverer, and how that's through. So much so, I've like read the comet book, I may have to reread it again. And my criticism here is that you've got the two objectives, and it says, how do you actually get the depth of information back into it? So they've got an artist's impression next to an actual photograph there, and that has a problem with it, because you can't tell what's an artist's impression. People got no education. Now, the planets. The eight major planets in the solar system are very different in their size and structure. Together, the mass of the planets would make 447 Earths, which is just 0.13% of the mass of the Sun. So, why don't you say it's a little bit over a thousandth of the mass of the Sun, rather than a percent, because you're going to knock a few people off. And it wouldn't then hurt you to actually put, Earth masses, that Jupiter's 370 Earth masses and Sun, if you're going to use that, why not just put Earth masses there to help people through? Now, what they've done, he has shown all the planets to the same size. I'm not necessarily explained it to the kiddies, so they're showing Mercury and Venus to the same size and Earth to the same size. So perhaps you'd want two scales, the actual scale, and expand to the same scale. Yeah, I'd do it that way. But I'm not. The thing is that I would suggest this, and put it through, careful argument, get someone on side, discuss it, make sure that it would go through. Do you think this will go through? And in a meeting, people would say, no. The textbook people have done it for a particular reason. Let's go with it. But again, so Jupiter and Saturn are the same size, which is the same as Mercury and Venus, the same size. What would be nice is to actually have another column here with the actual, them drawn to scale, and Jupiter the same scale across. And then a column again with the actual masses with it. Okay, see what's Mercury. Mercury's got a large core. Okay, I didn't have they don't explain what the various things, the features are here. So, they've got a picture of the surface, right? Yeah, okay. Mercury's surface is covered with craters and basins. It has a large central core. Venus is covered with white sulfuric clouds, under which volcanoes and mountains. Well, the only problem is I've heard of sulfuric acid. I don't know what sulfuric itself is. Earth. Earth has a solid core of iron and nickel and a liquid outer core and a lighter mantle and crust. Yeah, it's liquid. Okay, this is a picture of Earth. Mars is a freezing planet with ancient craters and volcanoes. Water is frozen at the poles. Jupiter is a giant ball of gas, mainly hydrogen helium, and does not have a solid surface. Saturn is a glass giant top with a cloud belt of swirling storms, ammonia, and ice crystals. Yep. Okay. Uranus has a gassy surface below which a slushy mix of water and gases and rocky core. Neptune is coloured blue by the methane in its surface, below which is a slush and rocky core. And they show it here, they don't fully explain, it's left up to the imagination of the reader what everything is. For some reason, Venus's core is not as bright as the Earth. The Earth's got a super bright core. And for some reason, I don't know why they've drawn it, but I think Jupiter's core is at a fairly high temperature. So that would be a criticism I have here. It would be nice if you had core temperature and pressure coming across. So that ends page 15. We're pushing through here. We're up to 40 minutes. We might be able to get through this. The planet Earth. And page 16, they have a satellite picture of the Earth. It'd be nice if they actually identify a few things. Sicily's boot. And you can see Corsica and a bit of Europe there, which is nice to look at. They could say things. It's a lovely satellite picture. Earth's landforms can be photographed from satellites in space. This view shows part of Europe and Africa, with a boot shape of Italy extending into the Mediterranean Sea. And this really gives you, I think, like you should almost have, and I'm working on it, a audio commentary for every page. I don't know how that would work. Do you need? You almost need QR codes or something that can actually go for the page. I don't quite. RFI? I don't quite understand how you do it. Okay, the text here. Earth is the only place where we know an entire universe with the right conditions for life to thrive. Oh, we know. Okay, people will lose that by them saying it so many times. In fact, liquid water is vital for life on Earth, is at the right distance from the sun for the water to exist on the surface. If the Earth was close to the sun, our rivers and oceans would boil and evaporate. If it was further away from the sun, it would be a frozen world of ice. Beneath the rocky surface, the Earth has a hot, molten interior. Okay. Liquid rot erupts from the surface from volcanoes and weaknesses in the Earth crust. Okay, this is a blatant misconception. It's all solid right down to the outer core. That's the only way it's really fully liquid. The eruptions is from localized melts, fluxes, chemical flux, which makes a locally rock which has got a lower melting temperature, liquid. So this is a continuous thing. Now what unfortunately happens is that people read the textbooks, a teacher who dislikes you, I don't know, who's competitive with you, say, look, I read it in the book, you're not going to tell me that this book has got it wrong. Well, in fact, I am in this case. But this is an overall problem. I just don't have the mental capacity now. How do I actually get for a particular book to find the computer, to find the internet, to find the podcast for the book that you're reading? So if you pick up a book from the library that you can put the ISBN code in, far out, that's an app. An ISBN code will give you all podcasts associated with the book. Wouldn't that be fantastic? You can scan it and it gives you... Oh, there's a goer. I can see a podcast. They have invention associated with them. They've already got a label with them. ISBN page... I can sort of see it structured already, and how things go. This continuously, liquid rocks erupts to the surface from volcanoes and weaknesses in the Earth crust. This continuously renews the surface, creating new mountains and raising minerals from deep within the planet. Well, that's just bollocks. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. Gold, for instance, dissolves in the molten rock and just sinks down. That's why there's so little gold. And minerals are not That's not necessarily how minerals are made. That's just really, can you imagine this being authoritatively kids reading it? I've got that understood. Bang, it is. Look, underneath the surface of the earth is not liquid. Is not liquid. It's solid. It's solid all the way down. Plasticine solid. There's a reason that you get the various things. Okay, now, it's got our atmosphere. I wish they put a temperature thing with it. Okay. Now, I'll just read it here. They've got a nice graphic cylinder here. I don't know why are they putting miles in it, and it's an Australian book. Why do they put miles? Just trying to understand it. It's an Australian publication. I don't understand why they've got all miles and stuff like that. I was looking at the US unit, and it's interesting that they've got the word miles and the abbreviation KM. Why are they mixing the two together? Because I think they're stuck between, if I use meters, it'll be, they don't have the unit for miles. Okay. The Earth's atmosphere is a layer of gases that surround the planet. It's divided into several regions. The troposphere contains most of the water. No, all the water. Water can't get up into the stratosphere. It's completely dry. Because the stratosphere is so cold, it turns to ice crystals and drops down. And also, the temperature is, goes across. Above that is the stratosphere, where the ozone layer protects us from harmful radiation. Yeah, the stratosphere, aka the ozone layer. Alright, just get across. Now, beyond the upper boundary of the atmosphere lies the cold darkness of space. And they've got other things, the exosphere, which is where the atmosphere becomes mostly ions and stuff like that. The thermosphere is where the temperature increases again. The mesosphere is where the temperature starts to drop again. So the stratosphere is the ozone layer that's been heated by the sun's UV radiation. Then the temperature drops down in the mesosphere from the, then you get the thermocline. Thermopause. A cline is an angle and a pause. It would be nice if they actually said sphere, clines, pauses. They're the three things you need there. Now, over here, they've got here thin layer, which is actually, look, I pat, it's a reasonably good graphic to tell you here. But you could say, oh, well, I wonder if it actually says, oh, well, they say it. But you could say it's the layer of nail polish. But they say it here, because kids don't know what varnish is. Compared with the size of the Earth, the atmosphere looks as a thin coat of varnish. You'd probably say cling wrap or something like that, though, no? Now, there's a few really interesting things here. And it's good here that, you see, the planet of extremes. The surface of the Earth offers an incredible variety of environments. Life of some kind can exist in most, almost all of them. Polar regions, the frigid poles receive much less sunlight than the rest of the planet. Deserts. Rainfall is so low in these harsh environments, little vegetation can grow. Tropics. The regions near the equator are warm all year round with plentiful rainfall. Mountains. Plant life changes higher up the mountain as the temperature drops, and we have the ice zone. There's no plant life above it, which gives you the biosphere. I suppose that would interest the kids. Comparing Earth with other planets, they should put how Earth compares. Earth is a very active world. Activity above and below the surface is continuously forming new mountains and trenches. The surface features are slowly worn away by water in rivers, rain, ice, and pounding ocean waves. Our closest neighbour planets, Mars, Venus and Mars, do not have liquid water on their surfaces. Their mountains and trenches have not eroded as much and are larger than anything on Earth. Like it's so they show Earth, Venus, and Mars, but it's really confusing the picture. So they use Olympus Mons. And of course, you're going to have higher the gravity on Mars is much less, so that's a reason why it's much bigger. And they've got no valley in Mars, but they could use the canyon. They're showing the Marianas Trench and Mount Everest, which they're not connected. It looks here, so the Mount Everest goes straight down to the Marianas Trench. That's bad. Marianas Trench is 11 kilometers down. down at Casma in Venus is 2.9 kilometers down. Venus has a mountain called Maxwell Mons in Venus. Mountain in Mars. So I think a lot of this is grossly confused, and like historically there's been a larger Lithgow, it was a much bigger mountain on Earth. We have planets to thank for it. There's all so much information that you could go here. I'm beginning to have an idea about how to do this. Oh my God, Father. This is Earth's formation, page 18 as a reading through, 51 minutes. It's a relief they haven't made the same mistake. Earth's formation. I'll read the text to you. About 4.6 billion years ago, a massive rotating cloud of hot gas and dust condensed to form our solar system. Planets first appeared around the young sun as grains of dust that clumped together, forming larger bodies. Evidence suggests, God, I hate them whenever they say that, that at least two planets formed about 150 million kilometers from the sun. Now, well, that's where we are at the moment. The young Earth and a small planet called Theia. The two worlds smashed together and debris from both planets formed the moon. The Earth suffered countless collisions of small objects, slowly gaining extra mass. Initially, the planet was completely molten, but the Earth grew, it cooled and formed a solid crust. Although gravity was generated to retain a gaseous atmosphere, which includes water vapor. I think the thing we have to say is that, also, Mars doesn't have its gravity. It's the magnetic field protected it from the solar wind. But I don't know how you do this. And there's a whole series of graphics here showing, I think it's Laplacian condensation. There's a picture showing in time, a sequence in time and space, and you really need to actually put numbers together. Oh, here it goes. And this is good because they have a number system to explain what's there. Now, just really, really, really thinking. I am thinking really a lot on this, and so I think I've got a solution for it, my friends. Forming the solar system, and they have here four sections in this picture. Oh my God, Father. One, a gigantic cloud of gas and dust collapses. The cloud begins to rotate and develops into a flattened disk. Two, after millions of years, most of the material gathered in the center, forming what eventually becomes the sun. Out along the disk, matter clumps together in bands. Three, collection of dust form rocky bodies several miles across, which collide and join with each other to become inner planets. Eight planets, including the Earth, is the fourth, remain in orbits around the sun. Yeah. I'm going to show the asteroid belt. Something's not to scale. It's sort of depressing. It really is depressing to watch. Because, the sun is cooler and bigger. I don't know. Okay. There's another picture here. The Earth underwent a period of intense bombardment in early history. Each impact added more mass to the young planet. Well, yep. My problem is that you really should probably have a slightly different shape border from an actual picture to an actual artist's impression. Now, reading across, short history of Earth. In the beginning, dust and debris from a massive cloud around the young sun collect together to form the inner planets. Because of gravity, these little worlds collide, forming larger and larger objects, eventually becoming planets. Heating up. The Earth has struck, and debris from the impact of the moon, many bombardments plus heats from within the Earth create a superheated molten planet. Heavy elements sink to the center while lighter ones rise. That's a really important point. Cooling off, the Earth cools off and forms a solid rocky crust. The upper atmosphere, forms, gases ejected from volcanoes and other sources from deep within the planet add to the atmosphere, including all our argon is actually potassium decay. Settling down, there are fewer impacts from space. The Earth's interior divides into a core and mantle. Water vapor in the sky condenses and rain falls on the planet, creating oceans. The stage of life is set, but be interesting if you could actually show the moon wandering further out, because it is actually growing further out with time. Rocks from space. Not all material from the early solar system came from the sun and planets. Millions of small rocky bodies called asteroids circle the sun, mainly between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter. Some are mere pebbles, others the size of mountains. Objects can burn up in the atmosphere called meteorites. Objects which reach the surface of the Earth are called meteorites. It's beautiful. From the air, the meteor crater of Arizona, USA, is clearly seen. It was caused by a large meteor around 50,000 years ago. So that's quite an interesting thing to say. I'm beginning to get a point in my head to see how this all sticks together. Okay. I wonder if I could speak to are we going to the moon? Are we going to the moon? The Earth's, really looking here, they've actually put a different, they've got the photosphere, convective zone, radiosphere zone, the core. That's just upsetting that they don't do the chromosphere as well. The colorsphere, they do the photosphere. Okay, so the Earth's sun. I'll read the captions here. This is good. Makes me laugh. Okay, I'm almost laughing. The Earth's sun. The Sun is the center of the solar system. It's enormous. This enormous star gives us all the light and heat we need to grow food and keep warm. Well, it's actually a middle grade size. I don't know why they say that. But it's not the largest star in the universe. In fact, it's quite a small one. Oh, it seems very big and bright to us because it's 150 million kilometers away from Earth. Light from the Sun takes only 8 minutes to reach us. Light from the next brightest star, that takes 8 light from the next brightest star takes 8 years. Well, I don't know what we're talking about. Alpha Centauri is brighter, and that's 4.2 years. This must be an incorrect fact. Scientists believe, and the problem is that a kid will read that, and you tell them the correct fact, and they just crap off about it. Scientists believe the Sun was formed about 4.6 billion years ago. We know what's going on. Perhaps when a nearby star exploded and caused a huge cloud of dust and gas to collapse on itself. The hot central part of the cloud became the sun, while the smaller pieces formed around became planets. Sun facts. The old world English word sunne. Okay, that's okay, so there. My problem is that you should want it to say its proper volume, its proper thing. Yep, I'd pay that one. It's a discovery. Known since antiquity. Hey, mate, what have you discovered? Oh, shit, I didn't miss that one. What is that? Oh, the sun. Oh, crap. I lived my whole life and actually never noticed it. Good on you. Can you write that in a cave painting? You'll be discovering. Age of the sun. 4.6 billion years. Gravity, 28 times Earth. However, you know, that's on the surface. Volume, 1.304,000 times, the times of Earth, I think. Just uncomfortable with that. I just have to work that out. Diameter, I think I can do that. Its diameter is 1.39 million kilometers. I wish here that they're still sticking to the old way of putting commas in. The scientists have got rid of commas, just to tell you that. So when you write 1 million, there's no commas. There's something called a space, half space. So it's not a full space, it's a half space. Okay, the temperature is 15, core temperature is 15 million degrees Celsius. My only problem here, okay, then they describe that the sun is 79% helium, 71% hydrogen, 27% helium. So what they could do is just show you the starting and finishing. So initially it started off with 23%, it's now 27% helium. Now the helium is all sitting in the core. The helium is so heavy it doesn't go up to the top. Inside the sun is made up of gases, mostly of hydrogen, and is powered by the process called nuclear fusion. Which you could say, you could teach so much there. Oh gosh, that's just such a dreadful picture. I can't believe it. Okay, now we've got the picture of the Earth compared to Jupiter. It would take nothing to put the actual... that's just appalling to see it going here. How big is the Sun? The Sun is 900 times bigger than Jupiter, the largest planet. Jupiter itself is 1,112 times bigger than the Earth. Which I think means volume. Inside sunspots. Oh, appalling, appalling picture of a sunspot. Sunspots are dark patches that extend deep into the surface of the sun. They occur where gases stop boiling. What? And the surface cools down. Sunspots are often much larger than Earth. Or, another way of saying it is that they become very efficient. Let's do it, yeah. Why does the sun... That's complete and utter rot. As far as I'll cover, I only read a certain amount of plasma physics. The sun things, intense magnetic field, get more efficient at radiating, so they cool down faster. Is what they've said? Oh, well, the magnetic field means that they're more efficient at transporting heat out. So they, the heat out doesn't go in as much. Okay. Now what they have done here is they've got the convective zone, radiative zone, and core. The radiative zone is like, say you're boiling water. The radiative zone is like the heat conducting through your pan. And above that, it's going into the water, so the water actually moves. But the convective layer, the radiative layer, is really the conduction layer. Sorry, mate. It's one of these things that people have just put the wrong label on, and it's gone on. It is basically conduction. There's no two ways about it. Its heat is through the convection zone, and the core is a part of the radiative zone. So I just makes me weep to read this here. Okay. In 1995, the observatory called SOHO was launched to study the sun at a distance 1.5 million kilometers from Earth, where it has an uninterrupted view of the sun. And then there's stereo and stuff like that. Okay. Energy boost. If only they could bloody well say that this is a hydrogen alpha picture. Solar flares are huge eruptions that occur from the sun's surface. They release massive amounts of energy far into space. Ribbons of light. When particles of solar flares hit the Earth's polar regions, they cause colourful ribbons of light, cause auroras in the northern and southern sunlights. Well, they do. Their particles get trapped in the field. Okay, this is interesting. This is really awful. They show the moon to Earth scale, which is great. The moon is 27% the size of the Earth. Now, if you size, you say diameter of the Earth, size 27% cubed, so that's, say it's a quarter, 27% is a quarter, 4 cubed is 64th. It's a 64th the size, the mass of Earth, or the volume of Earth, and you could fit, you know, a bit over 4 across. That's just very poorly done. But then they've shown the moon, and they've shown the flip side of the moon, a slightly different colour, towards us. And the important thing is that you can see a little bit more than 180 degrees of the moon, because as it comes, it wobbles, and you can just... It's like moving your head from side to side of the moon. You can see a little bit more. We can see a little bit more, right? Oh, sinus... Oh, no, iridium. Iridium means rainbow. Bay of rainbows. Sinus iridium. That's iridium here. And they've got the mantle and core, molten core. Oh, dear. Unfortunately, the core... They've done a cross-section into the moon, and it's not to scale, unfortunately. So there's a very small... semi-molten zone in the moon. Let's read what they have to say. Well, it's some moon facts. The origin of the name Moona is Anglo-Saxon word for moon, and month is an Anglo-Saxon nation of a month. Distance from the Earth, 348 kilometers. That should put on average diameter. Diameter is 3,467. The diameter of the Earth is, in actual fact, 4 pi 1,000 kilometers diameter. So 4 pi is roughly 3.6 across, and we know this from the definition of the meter, which comes into the definition of pi, and the fact that the square root of 10 is around the fact around pi. Mass of the Earth is 1.2% of the mass of the Earth. Okay, so it's the 64th of the volume. So in terms of the volume, it's 2%, but it's less gravity pulling it in, so it's a very tiny mass. So they've got that all wrong. That's the day. Rotation times and solar days is both the same. It's basically a day on the moon takes a whole month because it's tidally locked to us. Then we've got phases of the moon. It's in gibbous, waning gibbous. Okay, well that's interesting. I've learnt here. So they have the new moon waxing quarter, first quarter waxing gibbous. Waning quarter, new moon going through, the full moon going across. So gibbous means it's mostly bright but a little bit chunk taken out of it. Waxing and waning, waxes is growing, waning means going down. Okay, the nearest side hemisphere is the left side of the moon. The near side to the left of the moon is always faces Earth. The far side of the hemisphere below was revealed only when the probes visited. The moon has a small hot core a thick mantle and a crater crust. Now here, it's got a massive core, and the core seems colder for some reason, the way they've drawn it. Then they've got Exploring the Moon, the Lunar, the Ranger, Survey. They've only got the US ones doing it. And 1994 is the Clementine mission. I don't know what the release is. Now there's a picture down here of a false colour moon. And that's totally unexplained what it is, what that picture is there. And that finishes our Earth's place in space. That's given me an idea of how I can integrate these two things together. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.